But we've been looking at taking things for granted. And so many times, as life goes by, we begin to take the gifts God has given to us for granted. Matter of fact, James chapter 1, verse 17, I put this in your notes. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light. Every gift that we have, every good gift that we have is a gift from God. And if we're not careful, we'll take it for granted. Matter of fact, let me read Numbers chapter 11 and then we'll go to prayer. Numbers 11 verse 4. And the mixed multitude that went was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic. But our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the precious word that you've given to us, that we can read and that we can study and we can understand your will for our lives. Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've blessed us with. We know, dear Lord, that every gift, every good gift is a gift from thee, and we praise you and we thank you. And Father, I pray this morning as we look into your word that your precious Holy Spirit would teach us, that he would open our hearts and our eyes to see these wonderful truths. And Father, we might take and apply them to our hearts and to our lives so that we might live a life pleasing in your sight. Father, bless us during this time. In Jesus' precious name do we pray. Amen. Now notice what happens in Numbers chapter 11. It said the children of Israel, they started crying and they started complaining and they started taking for granted the manna that God had given to them. And they looked back and notice how they said, you know, we remember the fish and the cucumbers and the melons and the onions and the leeks and the garlics. All we have is this manna. And God rained down from heaven blessings upon them. All they had to do was go out and gather. And for 40 years, God fed them. For 40 years, God provided for them. But they began to take it for granted. And this is what happens in life. And so many times that we receive a gift from the Lord and we take it for granted. Now, I mentioned last week there are two key words in taking things for granted. One is when we devalue it, when it no longer holds any value to us, and when we waste it. Our first lesson we dealt with is we take life for granted. That's what we looked at last week. We take life for granted. Life is a gift from God. Every day that God has given us, it is a gift, and we need to make the most of it. I was reading last week and studying and looking at some different things, and I had some decisions to make in my life. And I sat down, I was sitting in my easy chair, matter of fact, yesterday. And I said, you know, I need to enjoy the life that God's given to me and the blessings that God has given to me and not take them for granted because God has been so good to me. We need to enjoy the life. And I want to ask a simple question. Are you enjoying the life God's blessed you with? You need to enjoy that life. The second thing we take for granted, or our second lesson is this, is we devalue and waste the Bible. We devalue and waste the Bible when we do not read it and apply it. Now, I want you to notice, we take for granted God's Word. We have the Bible. Matter of fact, if you go to my office, you'll find two or three copies of the Bible. If you turn on my computer, I've got about 20 translations on my computer. If you go to my house, I've got another Bible at the house that I keep there. On my iPad, I've got about 10 different translations. We have the Bible available. And I hope and pray that you have your copy of God's Word, whether you hold your Bible in your hands or you've got it on your iPhone or your Android phone or your iPad, that you have a copy of God's Word. Matter of fact, today I probably read my Bible more on my iPad than I do out of my physical Bible, because I can highlight it and make the text bigger, and I can do a lot of things there, and I can have two translations. And I want you to realize this, we devalue and we waste the Bible when we do not read it and apply it to our lives. It is one thing to read it. It is more to apply it. Matter of fact, James tells us about hearing the Word of God and doing the Word of God. So I want to give you two things this morning. Without the Bible, I cannot answer the following questions. I want you to understand this. Without God's Word, you cannot answer the following questions. Now, I have a verse I want to read here before I get to the questions. In Psalms 119, 105, I love this passage. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is God's word that lights our way, that teaches us how to walk. It teaches us how to make godly decisions. It points the way for us. It keeps us from danger. That's God's word. Then there's another scripture, and I'm going to put some additional things in this as I read this scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration means God breathed, that it came from God Himself and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is the study of God. It is knowing who God is. It is knowing the character of God, the holiness of God, of God's Son and the Holy Spirit. It is knowing about the Bible. In other words, when we study God's Word, it teaches us about who God is and His character and what God has done for us. That is doctrine. For reproof, when we need reproving, when we've done something wrong, the Word of God points it out to us. That's why it says in God's Word, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not, what? Sin against Thee. And wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to the Word of God. It is God's Word that reproves us. And it tells us when we're wrong. For correction, so that we might know that when we've done that which is wrong, how we can correct it and how we can live in the correction that is there. For instructions on how to live our life, how to treat our spouse, how to treat our children, how to raise our children, how to do our business according to godly value, how to handle our money. It gives us instructions in righteousness, that the word, that the man of God may be perfect, may be mature. And so what we need to understand is we need the Bible. And we need the Bible in our lives, and we need to be reading it and studying it every day. Now, there's not too many of us, and then I'm speaking personally for myself, there's not many of us that miss a meal. I know I don't. I get up in the morning, I'm going to eat breakfast. I'm going to eat lunch, and I'm going to eat supper, okay? Or dinner, if you want to call it dinner. I was raised calling it supper. I don't miss too many meals. If I miss a meal, there's a problem, okay? And we eat our physical food. But too many days, we don't eat our spiritual food, and it goes lacking. We need to be in God's Word. I want to give you several things that you cannot answer without the Scriptures. Now, number one is this. What is right? If you want to know what is right, what is good, what is godly, you've got to know the Word of God. You've got to get into God's Word. You've got to study God's Word. Matter of fact, today, if you'll go and you'll look out today, there's a big push going on gender neutrality. And if you, matter of fact, if you get on some websites and they'll ask you, are you male, female, and they got about 40 more things that you can pick. And if you want to know what is right, you pick up God's Word, because in God's Word it says, and God created male and female. Two choices, male or female. And He created them in His own image. And if we want to know what is right, we've got to get into God's Word, and it tells us what is right. Secondly, it tells us what is wrong, what is sin. It tells us what is sin. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet. And it goes in and it tells us what is sin. Matter of fact, today you don't hear much about what is sin. Matter of fact, today, instead of the word sin, they call it an alternate lifestyle. Instead of the word sin, they call it another choice. Instead of the word sin, they call it a weakness. Instead of the word sin, they call it disease. Instead of the word sin, it's just another way to live. And so what they've done is they've thrown out the word sin. But if you want to understand what is sin, you get into God's Word and it tells us, this is sin. And we need to understand that God does not change with society. God does not change with the age. That He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And His definition of sin has not changed. And the Bible teaches us that, and that is one of the reasons that we're having so much trouble in schools today. It's because when they took out the Word of God, they took out what was right and what was wrong. And we need to understand the Bible is essential. Next, you need to understand, it answers the question, who is God? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the creator. He is the giver and the sustainer of life. He is the redeemer. He is the refuge. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There is one Lord with three persons. And without the Bible, you cannot answer that question, because the Bible tells us who is God. Next, without the Bible, you cannot answer the question how to be saved. Because in the Word of God, it says by the preaching of Christ, that Christ was crucified, risen, and coming again, that people are saved. And we need to understand that it teaches us that it is only by the Lord Jesus Christ that a person will ever go to heaven. The Bible says in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in a day and an age that everybody wants everybody to accept everybody else's way to heaven. Well, I want you to understand, you can say there's many ways to heaven. You can say that, but it's not right. There's one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us that. The Bible teaches us what's going to happen in the future. You cannot answer this question outside the Word of God. Because in the Bible, it teaches us the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24, when He's talking to His disciples, and it's verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as He said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of Thy coming and the end of the world? Notice the three questions. When is the temple going to be destroyed? What is the sign of Your return? And what is the end of the age? And the Lord Jesus Christ sat down and He started to teach them in Matthew 24 and 25 and 26. And you see the Olivet Discourse there when He is talking about what's coming. And we can open the Word of God and it will explain to us what is coming for the future of this world. That one day the Lord Jesus is coming back and you're going to see the rapture of the church. The church is going to be called up and there's going to be a 7-year tribulation period that's going to be ushered in. And the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. And at the end of that, there's going to be a battle when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. He's going to set up His millennial reign. And then there's going to be that final battle. And then eternity will continue after the great white throne judgment. We know that in the book of Revelation. Go back in the book of Ezekiel, the book of Daniel, and the Word of God is essential for the life of the Christian. So without the Bible, you cannot understand sin. You cannot understand what is right and godly. And the Word of God's been given to us, and we've got the complete revelation. Now, with the Bible, I can know this. Now, I want to give you several things. With the Bible, I can know who God is. I can know that God created. I can know that God loved me so much He sent His only begotten Son, as it says in John 3:16. I can know that God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That God the Father loved me so much, He sent His Son. That God is holy and God is just and God is righteous and God has a plan of redemption and God is going to fulfill that plan of redemption. By the Word of God, I can know who God is and I can also have a personal relationship with Him through His Son. And the Bible teaches me that. Secondly, I can know who Jesus Christ is. I can know who His Son is. In John chapter 5 and verse 39 says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." He says, you look into the Word of God. You can go back to the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, and you can see the Lord Jesus Christ in every book. In every book of the Bible, it points to the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us. We see Him in Genesis. In the book of Exodus, we see the Passover lamb. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look in the tabernacle and see the symbolism that represent Christ. And we can know that He is God's Son, that He was born in that manger, that He lived that sinless life, that He died on the cross of Calvary, that His blood was shed for me, that He took my place, He rose again. I know that by the Word of God. And to understand the Word of God and to know the Word of God, I've got to be in the Word of God. And we've got to read the Word of God. And matter of fact, you can write this on your notes. My whole reason for this message this morning is for you to read your Bible, to study your Bible and to read it. With the Bible, I can know God. With the Bible, I can know His Son. With the Bible, I can know how to be saved. Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. It tells us that by the wages of sin is death, and the gift through Jesus Christ is eternal life. It tells me by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I can know that I'm saved. Matter of fact, every time that I go and I speak to somebody about their salvation, I open the Word of God and I show them in the Word of God the Scripture there, because it's not my words that matter. It is the Word of God, because the Word of God convicts and the Word of God brings people to the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. So not only can I know who God is by the Bible, I can know who His Son is by the Bible. I can know how to be saved. And on top of that, I can know that I'm going to heaven. I can have the assurance of my salvation. I've had the privilege and the pleasure of being with several people in the very last moments of their lives, in the last days of their lives. And I have, and what I'm saying, it's been a privilege and a pleasure, because in the last moments of their lives, the assurance that they had of their salvation, that they knew that they were going to be with Christ and they were longing to see the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were an encouragement to me. I've talked to people about their salvation over the years, and I've had people say, "I hope I'm going to heaven when I die." I've had people say, "Well, you won't know where you are until you die." I praise God that through the Word of God, I can know where I'm going before I die. And that I can know that my life's in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Notice that. "That ye may know that ye have eternal life." That ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I can know that today, if I die today, I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible tells us from this world, from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. I can know that. Matter of fact, at the age of 38 years old, I've said this several times, and at 38, I was having open heart surgery. They were replacing a heart valve. They rolled me in there on that gurney. I'll never forget this. Two male nurses were in there. They rolled me in. They rolled me upside of the operating table. And they walked around on the other side. They grabbed a sheet and they snatched the sheet to pull me over on the operating table. They wasn't strong enough to pull me over. They grabbed a sheet. The sheet moved and I stayed still. And they kind of looked at me and I said, well, if y'all will come around here and hold this gurney, I'll crawl on the operating table before y'all hurt y'all's back. So they went around and they held it, and I crawled up on the operating table and I got situated there, and one of the nurses looked at me and said, for what you're about to go through, you're very calm. I said, because it's not in my hands. It's in God's hands. If I live through this, it's by the power of God. If God carries me home through this, I'm going to a better place. We can know without a shadow of doubt that we know where we're going in our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God encourages us and testifies of that along with the Holy Spirit in our life. With the Bible, I can know how to handle the stress of life. Now, is there anybody here today who would say there is absolutely no stress in life? If you say that, I'm going to sit down and talk to you, because I got some I like to give to you and you can carry it for a little while. Life is filled with stressful things. The Bible teaches us how to handle life. Matter of fact, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It guides me. I want to show you. If you'll get into God's word and study people, read about the lives of the different ones, their life will teach you about how to handle life. And I gave you just several here. Let me go through this. The life of Joseph teaches us how to handle life when it's not fair. It teaches us how to handle life when it's not fair. You look at the life of Joseph. As a teenager, his brothers sold him into slavery. He was sold to Potiphar. And the Lord blessed him because Joseph was faithful to the Lord. But he was removed from his family. He became a slave. He was at Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. He refused her. She lied about him. He got thrown into prison. While he was in prison, they promised to remember him when they got out of prison. They forgot him. He was left in prison. God continued to bless him. And then God delivered him. He became the second in power in Egypt, the greatest nation during that time. And as he had an opportunity to get revenge on his brothers that sold him into slavery, he did not. And when they came to him after their father had died, he said, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. And he realized that even when life is not fair, God is still in control, and God guides us and God directs us, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And it teaches you how to handle life. The life of David teaches us how to trust God when we're facing giants. It teaches us how to recover from moral failure. It teaches us how to have the joy of our salvation restored. That's what the life of David teaches us. The life of Daniel teaches us how to dedicate our life to the Lord even when we're thrown into the lion's den, that God doesn't leave us and God delivers us. The life of Peter teaches us how to recover from spiritual failure. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, and you see the Lord comes back and he says, lovest thou me? And Peter says, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He renewed the call on Peter's life. The life of Samuel teaches the importance of raising and disciplining your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, because his children got away from the Lord and he didn't correct them. I want you to understand something. I'm 59 years old. My mother, and I told them I could not tell them in the 8:30 service how old she was. If my mother knew I told her age, I would be in trouble. So I'm not going to tell her age. She's 20 years older than me, but I'm not going to tell you how old she is. I'm 59 years old. If I did something wrong today, guess what? My mother would tell me, Michael, you are wrong. And if I said, but mother, I'm 59, I don't care. She'd say, I'm your mother, and I'll always tell you. Train your children up. And just because they get outside of the home don't mean you can't go and say, look, you made a mistake. Now, they got to make the decision. But we're still to train them. The life of Samson teaches us the cost of yielding to temptation. The cost of yielding to temptation. The life of the three Hebrew slaves, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, teaches us how to stand true and face a great persecution. The life of Paul teaches us how to endure and finish what God has called us to do. And every bit of this is found in the Bible, and that's only a small portion. How much we need to be in God's Word. With the Bible, I can know how to grow in my faith. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The Bible helps us to grow. It helps us to mature in our faith. And when we mature in our faith, it gives us discernment. We can discern between what is right and what is wrong. It gives us discernment to see beyond the initial, to see the end results. To see that if I choose this pathway, what's going to happen if I go this way? Is it going to lead me away from the Word of God? Is it going to lead me away from the Son of God? Or is it going to bring me closer to Him? God's Word helps us to grow. God's Word is a gift. And we need to make most of the gift God's given to us. In Psalms 119 in verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. By taking heed to the word. To know the word, you got to be in the word. And we need to be in the Word every day. We need to be studying God's Word. I've been reading the Bible for over 50 years. And every time I read, I find something new that God reveals to me. And there's been times that I've read a passage, and I've read that passage, and God opens my eyes, and I said, I've never seen that before, even though I've read it before, and how it just keeps peeling the layers back and back and back. The Bible's an amazing book. A child can read it and come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And you can study it for a millennial and not know all of its secrets. All that's been there. Because as the Lord opens our eyes and through the Holy Spirit teaching us, we learn more and more. And the more I learn about God's Word, the more I learn how unworthy I am and how much by the grace of God I was saved. Let's not take for granted the gift of the Bible. Let's open it. Let's read it. Let's apply it to our lives. So many times we get so busy doing everything else, we don't take the time to study. We don't take the time to read and understand. And we don't take the time to allow God to speak to us through His Word. We need to be in the Bible. And we need to read it and study it methodically. And I've said this, and I don't want y'all to misunderstand what I'm saying. We need to go beyond the daily bread. And I love the daily bread. And they've got a lot of great encouragement and lessons in the daily bread. But you know what I've seen too much? Is people pick up the daily bread, and if you'll actually pick up the daily bread, it'll have a whole passage to read. But they don't read the whole passage. They just read the little bit of scripture right there, that little bit of excerpt, and then they read the story. You're passing up the greatest part for the lesser part. And if we're going to discern between what is right and what is wrong, between what is good and what is evil, we've got to dig deep into the Word of God and understand. We need to go beyond snacking on God's Word to eating full meals of God's Word. So my whole lesson is this. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. When I go and I read my Bible, before I read, I always pray for the Holy Spirit to open my heart and to open my eyes. Let's not take for granted one of the greatest gifts we have, God's precious Word.